welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that you can always listen to the show again by going to the NAGB website, which is www.nagb.org.bs, and you can go to the Learn menu and you can scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you can see who's been on the show. There's pictures of people, and you can, what else can you do? You can see what's upcoming. That's right. You can go to our calendar, and you can see what we have happening at the NAGB, because there is more than just art to look at hanging on the walls. So we have talks, we have movies, we have music events, we have summer camp, we have all kinds of stuff for people of all ages. So go to the calendar, see what's coming. Most of the stuff we have is free. If there's a workshop involving materials, like we recently did an oil painting workshop, there is then a small fee. But if it's just a talk or a lecture or a movie, it's all free. So come on down to the NAGB, get involved with your creative community. On the 25th of July, we have a free screening of the Brazilian film, City of God. It's an amazing film. So, you know, you can come on out to that. We have the, on the 1st of August, we have the opening of the summer camp art show. So all of the kids who've been at the NAGB camp over the summer making amazing artwork will be having their own exhibition. So we have a ton of things happening, so get online and check it out. We are here tonight to talk about the show opening tomorrow night, not at the NAGB, at Dungalik Studios, which is down on Village Road. Dungalik is the art gallery space and culture space that was opened by Jackson and Pam Burnside, still run by Pam. And they're having a group show, which opens tomorrow night between 6 and 9, called Self Portrait, with artists Imani Hepburn, Eddie Zemay, Thomas Hairston, and Zan Z. We heard from Zan before the break, and now we're going to meet again, Thomas and Imani. You've both been on the show before, but let's have a little update of where things are. We'll start with Thomas. I'm just going clockwise. So, Thomas, you are a police officer.
Yes, I am.
I remember learning that last time I had you on the show.
Yes.
How do you find time to make art between your policing?
Sometimes, you know, a little less sleep, a little sacrifices. Sometimes, instead of maybe going out with some friends, maybe you just need to sit down and paint and draw. It's just prioritizing your time.
Does it help you deal with what you have to come into contact with as a police officer? I would imagine being a police officer is a very difficult job.
It definitely is, and I found that art is definitely being a major coping mechanism for the job itself. It's a lot to deal with, assisting persons, and sometimes you have to make sure that you don't take it home with you. Mm-hmm. And I found that at certain points when I first joined the police force, I consumed myself with the job and being the best officer I can be. I still am doing that, but I also know that you need to have a life outside of that. Mm-hmm. So I use art as a way to channel it. Even when I was younger, I used to do art from primary school, from all my youth, and I had a break from it when I first stopped working. And when I get back to it, you know, it just felt right. Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy that that happened.
Yeah, no, definitely, because I mean, again, art can really be a therapy for a lot of people.
Definitely.
And in many parts of the world, it's used as therapy and as ways to sort of communicate or to deal with things you have to deal with. My mother, God rest her soul, was raped once, and she was a writer. And so she wrote a book about it, about the entire experience and the whole, you know, the laws that were then the case back in that day. And it really helped her. And when I was older and we discussed it, she said, you know, this is how I coped, is I wrote it down. I got it all out of my system. I put it in a drawer and I locked it.
Awesome.
And that really stayed with me, that idea that you can kind of release, you can let go of difficult things by working through them. And like I said, I'm sure you have to deal with a lot of stuff. I remember some of your work, you know, there's sad things happening in some of it, right? And
yes.
I remember some of the dogs and with the big eyes. And
yes. I guess I had to say that I'm kind of drawn towards, you know, not necessarily the beautiful and the pretty. I like mm-hmm. sometimes the real, the gritty. You know, life isn't always beautiful, but it still needs to be captured and conveyed to others and let others person to imprint or give their ideas and thoughts on different subject matters.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that we grapple with, right? Because a lot of people want art always to be beautiful, but art serves many functions. So I think beauty is one of them. But there's also that thing of addressing. I mean, you think of a Max Taylor, right? There's many artists that have come out of our community that face the corner, that shine light onto the corners that we would prefer not to look at. And I think it's important to look at them, because that's the only way we can come up with solutions, right? Is to see that. And so, yeah. And so I'm going to quickly bring Imani into the conversation. She's been patiently waiting. You've been on the show so many times at this point. I think, didn't you first come on the show because you were in a writing class?
No, I believe you're talking about my
twin. Oh, am I talking about your twin sister? Oh, no. I'm sorry. Suhaila. That's right. Okay. So you've always just been an artist.
Yeah, I've been
visual artist.
Visual artist. I dabble in writing, but I'm primarily a visual artist.
Okay. Well, you know, you are twins. That's allowed, right?
Yeah.
So I apologize. But you are now, I knew you as well because you were a UB student. And so you've been extremely active at the NAGB, assisting us, volunteering, working sometimes. You've been involved in, I can't even count how many things you've been involved in. So that's how I sort of came to know you. But now you're graduated, right?
I have. I just graduated spring 19.
Whoop, whoop. So what's next? Grad school or not?
I've been thinking about it. I think I want to at least leave a year or so. Zanzi looking at me because she's been trying to drag me to UWI.
UWE, yeah. Listen, UWE's a great school.
Edna
Manley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But at the moment, I'm just kind of, I'm making work and seeing if I can get work.
Yeah.
Just bouncing around and seeing different things. Over the summer, I've been painting, but then I've been doing like these different jobs that like apply with like my skill sets. I've been making books. I do a little bit of studio assistant. So I'm just kind of like bouncing around and seeing what's.
Who
happening.
Have you been making books with? With Sonia?
Nadia Campbell.
Nadia Campbell.
Yeah,
oh, great. Okay.
She commissioned me for a set of Japanese bind books with like straw, like Bahamian straw work, imposed into the inside of the cover.
Wow, they sound beautiful.
Uniquely Bahamian.
Okay, lovely. And you've been doing lots of mural work for us. You've done a couple of murals, haven't you?
Yes, I remember the last one I did was back in April.
Yeah,
April or March for
the Wall of Respect.
The Lewis Street Wall of Respect with Javon and Matthew.
And Matthew, yeah. And then before that, you did the playground mural.
Yes,
on Hospital Lane. So I don't know if anyone listening has actually noticed.
Yes, that, I saw it. I walked through and I was like, wait, is Imani
the purple
work, you know?
Girl?
Yes.
You can tell.
Like,
you can always identify your work.
The one, the Hospital Lane one.
Yes. I walked through the cut and I was like, wait, I noticed work, you know.
Well, I'm glad you noticed, though, because we sort of adopted that playground. We're trying to, again, like sort of get more out into the city and have the NAGB sort of expand off the campus. And murals are such a great way to do that. And so, you know, we know a lot of the kids on Hospital Lane because they come and they play at the gallery or they come to the garden. So we were like, okay, let's do something with this playground, because I always cut through there on my way home, right? I always turn down Petticoat Lane to avoid the traffic. And that playground just looked so sad, and we were like, man, if I was a kid, this would just bum me out. So we were like, this is in our neighborhood, let's do something. So you and again Javon and Matthew, you've been a great team. You've been like the Fantastic Four or Fantastic Three, but there was five of you on that one. You've been you've been very, very active with them.
Yeah, they're a good pair to work with, like mm-hmm. as far as just like conceptualizing work together with them and then executing it. Like, even with, like, our very differing schedules, it always seems to, like, work out in that sense.
Do you think it's important to have colleagues like that? Because that was something, actually, Zen, I was going to ask you. It's like, you've been sort of, in a way, isolated from
the community.
Mm-hmm. What is that different? Like, now that you're back in, like, how is it to have this kind of interaction with other artists again? Is that inspiring? And Imani, do you, like, feed off that? Is that something that you feel is, like, important as artists to have this kind of give and take?
I think it's very important because, like, I feel like before I actually went to UB. I wasn't familiar with any of the art, the local art scene at all. And just being able to have coming in contact with different artists, meeting other young artists who I was like schooling with, and like making these connections is just invigorating. Like it adds to your own practice of just developing as a person. It's a good thing. Like,
mm-hmm. And how about you? Has it been for you, like coming back in, do you feel like this is something you've missed, or was it sort of nice to be not bothered, or like how is that now that you're kind of slowly coming into contact? I saw you, I mean, before we came on air, you were all just like chatting with each other. It seemed like there was a very sort of, you know, good good feeling of support mm-hmm. between you all?
I've always been a strong believer in community and community mm-hmm. effort. Thomas can tell you. Were you in the PIC Association?
Of course.
So, you're too young for this. Yeah. I've always been the one to kind of get people together. The very first group that I started was called the PIC Association, mm-hmm. Partners in Creativity. Mm-hmm. And we did a lovely show at the Radisson. I planned that in, I think that was 11th or 12th grade.
12th grade,
yeah. And I
should I ask how long ago that was, or is that going to shame us all?
That was 2006.
Yes, because it was before I came home.
Yes, definitely. I've just constantly been revisiting this idea of the importance of community and the importance of working together. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've always said, we need to do this again. So this is how the We Artists Collective actually got started. I said, you know what, I need to get my people together. And we need to, you know, not only just for myself to reimmerse myself in the community, but, you know, creating community as well. You know, creating space that I can feel comfortable, everybody else can feel comfortable, and we can, you know, work together toward common mm-hmm. goals.
So you mentioned that. So the show that opens tomorrow night is the four artists, which are the newly formed We Artists Collective.
We are members of.
Oh, you're members of. Okay, so there's more?
Yes, it's a it's actually a Caribbean-based collective. It's not just Bahamian-based.
Oh, good. Yay.
Yeah, and that's one of the foundations of mm-hmm. what the collective is going to be about. We're looking to bridge those gaps that we have amongst ourselves in the region. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel that an issue that we have here, especially in the Bahamas, is that we isolate ourselves from the wider Caribbean context.
Sometimes we don't even want to be part of the Caribbean, right?
Acknowledge it.
We're like, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, holding on to this tenuous this baseless idea that we're not a part, that, you know, the Caribbean Sea does not.
We're all connected by the ocean. We're all connected by our history. We're all relatives
in some way or form.
Literally, right?
Yes.
I mean, literally.
Definitely.
You find families with the same last names on other island nations. You discover genetically you are all connected. We all know that after everyone arrived on boats, everybody was split up and shipped off to Barry. I mean, we literally are all related to each other.
It's even closer than that. I have family. I don't know who they are. I just mm-hmm. know that I have family in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. I know we got family in Cuba. Mm-hmm. I know my family are of Haitian descent. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know that my grandparents. I have a large part of my family in Turks Island.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Everywhere.
And everyone had to travel. And also, let's be very frank. Back in the day when a lot of men were out fishing, they had families on a lot of different islands.
Different islands. Still
right?
do.
They still do. But let's just. Yeah.
Not just different islands. Just different countries.
Different nations. And when I say island, I mean island nations. So, yeah. Well, so that's great. So how big is the collective, more or less?
So far, we have about 15 members. Mm-hmm. A couple of members from Jamaica, mm-hmm. Mostly Bahamians right now, mm-hmm. and we're looking to grow. We hope to
Great.
Show next year in Jamaica.
Excellent.
And keep
well,
it going.
Well, then have you back on the show next year, if not before. I think that's great. It's a fantastic initiative because I think we can all learn from each other. And again, if we isolate ourselves, it doesn't help. And sometimes people are like, we never get put in national exhibitions. And I'm like, well, when's the last time we invited someone in? So, you know, you don't invite people over to your house for dinner unless they invite you occasionally. You know, I mean, it's kind of a give and take, right? So we need to really learn how to be open while maintaining our authenticity, which, you know, isn't that hard. But anyhow, we're going to go to a break and we're going to come back to speak precisely about the We Collective and the exhibition tomorrow night, Self-Portrait, with the four of you. Maybe one of you can just mention Eddie and what his work's all about. We'll talk about the work you've produced, why you wanted to have this exhibition, and why all our listeners should come out to support you. Okay, we're going to go to a short break. I'm speaking with Imani Hepburn, Thomas Hairston and Zan Z, Eddie Zemay, cannot be here tonight. They are part of the We Artist Collective, and their show Self Portrait is opening tomorrow night at Dungalik Studios between 6 and 9 p.m., and you are all invited out. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.